Proverbs, the second chapter. Well, I missed chapter 2, but you know, this is one of the pitfalls of Bible study, is that when you're turning to where you're supposed to be, you find something else good and you get bogged down there and find it hard to get to the other place. Look at chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 23. Says, turn at my reproof, surely I will pour out my spirit on you. I will make my words known to you. I'll tell you, every one of us need to grab a hold of that and take it unto ourselves. We need to make that ours. God is saying, I will make my words known unto you. Isn't that good? Praise the Lord. So many times we're affected with the temptation to think, well, I just... It's so hard to understand the Bible, or what does this mean, or what is God's will, and how do I ever figure it out? God says, I will make my words known to you. Praise the Lord. And that's regarding knowing what the will of God is, too. So many people, some of us have needs, don't we? Well, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He's concerned about those needs. So many people, when we're going through life, we're so apt to be worried about knowing the will of God and missing the will of God. And yes, we should have a godly respect. And that's what the first chapter in verse 7 says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom. Yes, we need to be in awe and be concerned about knowing and doing the will of God. But don't you think that God is more interested in you knowing His will than you are in knowing His will? I mean, after all, whose will is it that we're talking about? You can answer on that one. God's. Well, if it's His will, don't you think He wants us to know it? He wants us to know His will even more than we're interested in knowing His will. And so I think this is something that the devil tries to tie Christians up in knots over. He said, I will make my words known to you. God will guide you. He will make it plain. So much of the time we're trying to look for something when there's nothing there. So much of the time we're trying to get God to say move to Kalamazoo when God is saying, right here in the Bible, He's saying, rejoice evermore and everything give thanks. Don't worry about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, make your request. That's what God is, His will is for you. And we're off trying to worry, oh, maybe God wants to tell me something. Yeah, He wants to tell you something. But He's already been telling you. He wants you just to act on that. Unless Brother Hagin says, and I think there's some wisdom here. Brother Hagin says, I go as much by what God doesn't say as by what He does say. You got to think about that. If you were a parent and you had a child and they were doing fine, you don't want to spend all your time telling them. They're out there playing in the yard nice. You don't have to spend all their time. Now keep playing in the yard, Johnny. Keep playing in the yard. Just keep playing in the yard. That's it. Play in the yard. Play in the yard. Play in the yard. No. When you want them to stop playing in the yard and come in and wash up for supper, you say, come on in and wash up for supper. Well, until you tell them to come in and wash up for supper, they're secure in the knowledge it's all right to play in the yard. That's the way we ought to be. We shouldn't go through life worrying every second, oh, maybe I'm going to miss it. God is interested in you not missing it. And if you're sincere and honest before God, He is going to guide you. Yes, you need to seek His face. Yes, you need to draw nigh to Him. But you need to do it in faith, not in doubt, not worrying and wondering, well, am I going to know? Oh, what if I miss it? Well, I guess God just wasn't big enough to help you, huh? Now, the only way you're going to miss it is when you get out here in doubt and fear and worry and block God. That's the only way you're going to miss it. God's still going to try to get through to you. But if you insist on sinning by worrying, Well, so I stepped on a lot of our toes right then. We needed it. If we insist on worrying and being in doubt and confessing all that, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. I just don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, God, why won't you help me? Well, you're inferring that he doesn't care about you one bit. What is that? That's doubt and unbelief. It's a lie of the devil. He's proven his love for you. How many times does he have to show it? Every day, every hour? He's proven he loves you. That's beyond question. He does love you. He does care. And he says, I will make my words known to you. What you need to be doing in a time like that, instead of wringing your hands and saying, oh, what am I going to do? You need to be lifting your voice and lifting your eyes to God and saying, thank you, Lord, that you're making your words known to me. Thank you, Lord, that you've sent your Holy Spirit. The Spirit of truth is come and he is guiding me. Thank you, Lord, that you are my shepherd. You are guiding me and I shall never lack. The Lord is my shepherd and I shall never lack. I'll never lack for any good thing. I'll never lack for wisdom and guidance. I'll never lack for provision. I'll never lack for money because the Lord is my shepherd. Thank you, Lord, that you're making your words known to me. Thank you, Lord, that you are guiding me by your eye. That's what you should be saying. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands. If I did on this, well, I'd have to be the first one to raise my hand. But how many of us are guilty of not doing that? Well, I don't raise your hand. I don't want everybody to be embarrassed. I'm sure that sometimes we've done it, but you know, we need to become consistent about this. How much do you think your wife or your husband would like it if, every Monday you told them that you loved them, but the rest of the week you told them you hated them and you just didn't care about them? Well, that's not very consistent, and so they're not going to be very pleased probably. Well, God's not as touchy as your wife or your husband, but he does have feelings. And he's pleased with faith. How many of you know that's a scripture in the Bible about that? And it's just about the same when we're doubting God. We go around wringing our hands and worrying and wondering and wavering. Oh, God, what am I going to do? Oh, God, where are you? Oh, God, oh, God. That's unbelief. That's doubt. That doesn't please God. You say, but what if it doesn't work? Well, why don't you just go down with God? Wouldn't you a lot rather go down with God than with anybody else? Why don't you just go ahead and be the first person in history that trusted God and God failed them? Go ahead. Why worry about it? If God isn't big enough to back up his word, you might as well know it now. You say, well, I acted on his word and he didn't back it up. No, you didn't. God always backs up his word. You might have been trying to do something. You weren't trusting God. Trying's not trusting. Believing is trusting. God's going to do it. God is going to back his word. Heaven and earth may pass away. Everything may change. The hills may jump into the sea. But God's word is still going to be standing and it's still going to hold you up. If you're standing on the word of God, you're still going to be standing. I don't care. Whatever else happens, that's the way it is. That's the way it is. It's no other way. This is the word of God. This will stand when everything else fails. And anybody else that's got the nerve to trust God and stand on it is going to be standing when the storm passes over. I don't care what the storm is. I don't care if it's nuclear war. I don't care if it's famine, flood. I don't care if it's sickness, whatever the flood, whatever the problem is. The person is still going to be standing when that passes through. You say, you mean we can survive nuclear war? If we get a direct hit? I don't know. I've never tried it, but I'm not worried. Yes, I'll survive. I know that. And I don't care whether I stay here that long or not anyway. Do you? Now, God doesn't want a bunch of quitters in his army. Bunch of people that don't have the backbone to stay up on the front lines. God isn't interested in that. So I'm ready to stay here as long as possible and as long as God wants me to. But there is something wrong with Christians, my friend, if you are more attracted to and more connected with this world and more interested in staying here than you are to be in heaven with Jesus. There is something wrong. This world is not our home. Now, this earth is going to be our habitation when we move back here with the New Jerusalem. It's going to be ours. It is ours in the name of Jesus. But this world system, it's not our home. And there's something wrong with you if you just love it so much that you just, that'd be the worst thing ever. What if I had to go to heaven? I'll tell you what I think of this world. I think it's sick. I hate it. I'm not talking about the rocks and the flowers and the trees. Those are wonderful. That's God's workmanship, not his greatest workmanship. Humanity is that. But I hate this world. I hate it. I hate all the greed and the corruption and all the politicians in these third world countries or United States or anywhere. They get the money and everything and the people go poor. I hate the religion in it. I hate that does the same thing. They build their fancy gold-covered cathedrals and have all of their money, billions of dollars of it maybe, investments, and their people are going hungry. Their people are doing without. Their people are poor. I hate that. I hate it. People starving to death in Africa or anywhere else. I hate it. I hate all the sin and all the junk in it that brings people down and hurts people. I hate it. This world is horrible. The political systems, I am not going to say anything bad about our government. I am going to pray for them. I'm going to use my faith. I'm going to bless them. And I thank God that we've got as good as we do. But even at that, it's a far cry from the way it's going to be when Jesus is at the head of it, physically. So I'm not going to say anything bad about it, but I just hate it. I hate the sin that's involved. That's what I mean. I don't hate the people. And we've got it better here in so many, in most every respect, than anywhere else on earth. It's horrible. This is a mess. I'm not connected to it. I'm just here on a mission, and every one of us, we're just here on a mission. We're here to walk with God and be a blessing to do His will. We're not here to take on the weight of the whole world on our own shoulders. That's another thing the devil... I'd like a bunch of you to get more zealous. I'd like a bunch of you to act a little bit more alive. I mean, even on Sunday mornings, it wouldn't hurt if you at least acted like you were still there breathing. It wouldn't hurt if you was a little more alive acting the rest of the week. That'd be fine. But on the other hand, if the devil's trying to put the weight of the whole world on your shoulders, God didn't mean for you to carry it. God intends for you to do what He tells you to do. You don't run from what He tells you to do. He won't cram it down your throat. You have to be open and interested in receiving it. But you are, aren't you? Say, I am. Good. I'm glad for that. He said, I will make my words known unto you. I will make my words known unto you. He'll make His will known to you. Glory to God. Okay, now we've got that out of the way. Let's go to Proverbs 2. Proverbs chapter 2. Now this is along the same line anyway. Verse 6, for the Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. Did you get that? The Lord gives wisdom. The Lord gives wisdom. From His mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Well, how many of you are in Christ Jesus today? Good. Those that are in Christ Jesus are in right standing with God. Isn't that correct? Is it? I'm going to wait till we have a little bit more unanimity here. Those that are in Christ Jesus are in right standing with God. Is that correct? Okay. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. Well, that's us if we're in Christ Jesus, and we qualify because we stand not in our own righteousness, but in the righteousness of Jesus. He stored it up. He's got it for us. Do you understand that God has something for you? He's determined it to be yours. He wants you to have it. This wisdom, he's got it stored up. It's available. It's on tap, ready for you. He's got it stored up. For the Lord gives wisdom. Hallelujah. He gives it. He gives wisdom. We're talking about wisdom today. Now look in the third chapter of Proverbs and go down to verse 13. It says, happy is the man who finds wisdom. Who finds it? Some people are thinking they're just going to stumble on some things in life, and that may happen once in a while, but usually you only find what you're looking for. Usually. You're not going to stumble on that much and realize it unless you're looking for it. You know, we can stumble across a lot of things in life, but we don't even realize we're there if we're not looking for them. You've got to be looking. Back in Proverbs chapter 2, it says, verse 3, if you cry out for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. So there's a balance here. Yes, the Lord is interested in you having it, more interested than you are. But if you're expecting just to sit down and never read the Bible, never receive any teaching from the Bible, from the ministry gifts that God has given you, never avail yourself of any of the opportunities to learn about God's Word, don't expect it just to jump on you out of a bush when you're walking through the park. You've got to show some interest. But I'm assuming that. I'm assuming you're interested. I'm assuming that you desire to know God's will. I'm assuming that you will read the Bible. I'm assuming that you will draw nigh to God. Well, then he is going to tell you. He's going to make himself known unto you. He's going to reveal his wisdom to you. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 13. Happy is the man who finds wisdom and the man who gains understanding. For her proceeds are better than the profits of silver, and her gain than fine gold. Now, stop. Break. So easy for us just to read this and think he's speaking metaphorically. Oh, what beautiful language. No, this is literal. This is what it means. The wisdom of God is more valuable than finding a bunch of diamonds or rubies out here in the ground. It's more valuable. I mean valuable in dollars and cents. I mean valuable in the coin of the realm, whatever it is. Francs, guilders, shillings, whatever. I mean money. It's more valuable. You don't think so? All it takes is one little idea for God to reveal to you, and it'd amount to more money than you could count. You spent the rest of your time counting it a dollar at a time. I mean that. Henry Krouse, God revealed to him in a dream in the night the blueprint for making a plow that changed farming and made him rich. There's so many examples of that kind of thing happening. The guy that did the telegraph. There's just so many examples. God can reveal something to you. I'll tell you some. There's some things that I know about. I mean, I don't know how to do them, but I know that God could show people how to do them, and there wouldn't be any way to handle the wealth that would be involved. The wisdom of God Now that's looking at it on from one angle. But another angle, where every one of us live and move and applies to us, is having the wisdom of God concerning our circumstances and what we're facing in our life make all the difference in the world. You can't go by this kind of counsel anywhere because nobody else has as much wisdom and knowledge as God. You can't get from anybody else what you can get from God. Nobody knows what's on the inside of everyone else except God. Besides all that, now I'm not taking back what I said about this means in money. It does mean that. It means it's more valuable money-wise. It is more valuable money-wise, but it's not limited to money-wise. It goes above and beyond that. You had all the money in the world. You couldn't necessarily save a marriage. But the wisdom of God will enable you to do it. There's a lot of people that have been given up to die by doctors, all the best doctors in the world. They had all the money in the world. Won't help them a bit. But the wisdom of God will show them how they can receive their healing. So it's dollars and cents more valuable, but it's also more valuable even than money could ever think about being. Let's go on. Verse 15, she's more precious than rubies and all the things you may desire. All the things you may desire. Now that may be a lot. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. With what? With wisdom. This is pretty important then, isn't it? More than anything else that you could desire, this is more desirable. Do you understand that I'm talking about desirable to you? I'm not talking about desirable to God. I'm not coming out here and saying, now this is what God would rather you have. You know, like taking candy from a baby. Well, you've got that sucker there, Sally. But here, let me give you this rattle instead. It'll taste better. Ha, ha, ha. That's the way people picture this. God saying, oh, this is more desirable. Give up everything else. Give up all this good stuff. And here you can have a little bit of my wisdom. Ha, ha, ha. No, God is saying, look, this is more desirable for you. I'm talking about what you desire. What you desire. This is something that you desire. When you realize it, and when you get it, it's more desirable to you. Even than ice cream. Even than just plain money. This is more desirable to you. This is something you will like better than anything else. Do you understand that? He's talking from your perspective. All the things you may desire cannot compare with her. Well, here's some reasons. Verse 16. Length of days is in her right hand. Everybody see, this is my right hand? How did you see it? You weren't even looking. Oh, no. I said, you see, this is my right hand. I have something in it, don't I? Length of days is in her right hand. That means wherever I go, my hand goes with me, and whatever is in my hand goes with me. So along with this, you get length of days. Long life. In her left hand, riches and honor. Well, left hand, right here. You get the wisdom, what do you get? The wisdom comes in, you're going to get riches. Oh, not me, just give me enough sufficient for me, lest I curse God and backslide. There isn't much wisdom in that, folks. You get the true wisdom and you're going to get some money to go along with it. It comes with it. Oh, God, give me the wisdom. Hold the money, please. You know, like you're at Wendy's. Give me a double. Hold the mustard and pickle, please. You don't say, oh, God, give me some wisdom and hold the money, please. Hold the money and honor. I don't want any of that. A lot of people are... They're going up to Wendy's and say, hold the hamburger and just give me the mustard and ketchup, please. You don't understand yet, maybe, but See, the money isn't the big thing. Look at me. Everybody look at me. Which is bigger, me or what I've got in my hand? I mean just physical, you know, normal. It's not a trick question. Which is bigger, me or what I would have in my hand? Now let me ask you a question. Is it possible for me to hold anything in my hand that's bigger than me? No, of course, that's an easy question. Why'd you hesitate? I could put my hand on something that's bigger than me, but I can't hold it, something that's bigger than me. Well, maybe you could if you're so strong, but I can't. No, basically, it's... What am I saying? The main thing, we thought the main thing was the money. The money just comes along with it. That's just the ketchup and the mustard. We don't need to go and say, oh, give me the ketchup and mustard to hold the hamburger. Just get the hamburger and don't tell them to hold the ketchup and mustard. You'll get the whole package. Just get the wisdom and don't try to say, I don't want the money. You'll get it all. Say, oh, well, I don't want to be greedy. I don't want to have my cake and eat it too. Well, that is stupid. Why bake a cake if you're not going to eat it? Why shouldn't a person have cake and eat it too? What good does it do just to have it? Who wants to just have a cake sitting around, attracting flies? If you got a cake, you might as well eat it. Somebody might as well eat it, hadn't they? That's just some of the wisdom of the devil to try to keep you bound, that's all. If God gives something, he gives it for to be used, to be enjoyed. He's the living God that gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Timothy 6:17. That doesn't mean we just sit around getting fat eating cake. That's not too enjoyable, is it? It doesn't mean we just sit around getting fat and prosperous. There's no wisdom in that. That's why you get the wisdom and length of days is in her right hand, in her left hand, riches and honor. Just quit worrying about getting hit by some drunk out on the highway and dying young and not being able to raise your children. Just forget about that and get some wisdom. I'll tell you what kind of wisdom you're going to get from the Bible. You're going to get this kind of wisdom like Psalm 91. No evil will befall me, neither shall any plague come near my dwelling. Hallelujah. With long life, God's going to satisfy me. You're going to get the wisdom that is going to release your faith. Say with your mouth what you believe in your heart, and you're going to say that. And the angels are going to protect you. And just because something tries to happen, it can't. Didn't you enjoy that testimony last week where Isaac, the pastor from Uganda, was telling about the people that emptied out the, was it, 3 or 4 rounds of bullets and out of the automatic rifle, point blank on the lady laying there in the floor, and the bullets bounced off? Isn't that pretty good? Hallelujah. Get some wisdom, and you won't have to worry about it. Length of days is in her right hand, and her left hand, riches and honor. It comes with the package. Hallelujah. And if God gives it to you any other way, if God gives it to you without you walking in the wisdom, it's just going to be a curse to you anyway. You're just getting bigger trouble than you're in now. How many of you know that's the truth? I know it. I know it. You can get more trouble with $100,000 than you can with $1,000. You can get in more trouble with $1,000,000 than you can with $100,000. I've never tried that, but I just know that the principle extends that high. I know it. It's the truth. You can get in more trouble. You can also get more blessing, but it has the potential to go either way. Without the wisdom, I know which way it's going to go, and you do too. In her left hand, riches and honor. Now, that isn't all. If it just got you money and a long life, well, that's no big deal. But verse 17, her ways are ways of pleasantness. Pleasant life. Pleasant. And all her paths are peace. Glory to God. She's a tree of life to those who take hold of her and happy are all who retain her. Hallelujah. Chapter 4 and verse 5 says, get wisdom, get understanding. Verse 7 says, wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom in all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. The wisdom of God will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Now here's the thing about it, though. A lot of people shun this or turn loose of it, is that the wisdom of God operates in the kingdom of God. Jesus said for us in Mark 4 that the whole kingdom, we can compare it or liken it to a seed that's being planted in the ground. And so a lot of people just, they get a hold of this little wisdom here and it just looks so tiny and they just throw it away. I'm going to go over here. I'm going to get a fourth opinion. You know, I didn't like this. The wisdom of God, well, 1 Corinthians 3:19, approaching it from the other hand, from the negative standpoint, says, for the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. Now, what do you think, then, the wisdom of God is going to seem like to a person whose thinking has been affected and molded by this world? It's going to seem foolish, isn't it? If the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God, well, then the opposite is no doubt the truth too, isn't it? The wisdom of God is foolishness to the world. And so what is, now I'm not naming any names, and I'm careful not even to say you, but what is the wisdom of God going to seem like to a person, your neighbor or relative, or you, what is it going to seem like to a person who has been affected by and molded by the wisdom of this world? That's what we get. That's what we get bombarded on us from most of our relatives. That's what the TV puts out. Except on hopefully Christian programs. It's putting out the wisdom of this world. That's what everything around us, unless we surround ourselves with the Word of God and people of faith, that's what everything is putting out, the wisdom of this world. And that is foolishness to God. Now, you might as well quit and get up and go home right now if you're not going to accept this and receive this part of it. It's fine to sit there and think, oh, that sounds good. The wisdom, hallelujah, length of days, pleasantness, riches and honor. I'll take a double, triple, yes, let's go, hallelujah. But then when it gets down to God revealing his wisdom to you, and you have a need, and he says, you see it right there in the Bible, give. You got this little seed. You look at it. You look over here at your bank book. You look at this little seed. You go back and forth. You throw away the seed. You got pain and sickness attack in your body. You see here in the Word, speak to the mountain, and it shall obey you. You look at that little seed. What are you going to do? Are you going to think, oh, this is foolish. It's foolish. Oh, this would never work. Well, that's crazy. You're just exhibiting. Whenever you think the Word of God is crazy, you know what you're doing? You are exhibiting to yourself how much you have been molded by the world. Anytime you find something in the Bible and it seems strange to you, seems far out, seems wild, crazy, all you're doing is proving to yourself how much you have been affected by the world's thinking. That's all. You're showing yourself how much you need to get your mind renewed with the Word of God. That's what you're showing yourself. Now, I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm here to help you. I do love you and care deeply about every one of you. I'm interested in you. I want the best for you. I'm interested in your welfare. Not as much as God is, but that's where I got it is from Him. I wasn't just born with it. I wasn't just born a nice person. It's a good thing my mother's not here. I was born all right, I guess. I mean, as far as just a normal person, I mean, there's better people and there's worse people, so I'm not putting myself down. I'm just saying that the reason I'm concerned about you is not just because you're so pretty or I'm so wonderful, but it's because of the love of God in my heart, what He's called me to do. I do care. I am concerned. God is concerned. So, this wisdom doesn't always seem wise when we're operating out of a mind that has been trained by the world system. And we all have. None of us were educated in heaven. Are you listening? I mean, we have to be honest with ourselves. We have to face up to facts. We have to realize, well, there's some places here where I need to get some new information. And as I was saying, now I'm back to where I was. As I was saying, I'm not here to beat you over the head. I'm here to help you. And just finding out doesn't mean, oh, you're guilty. Now just go over in the corner and put the dunce hat on and wait for God to come with His big stick and He'll beat you and then you'll feel better. No. When you identify the problem, then you can find out the solution from the Word of God and apply the solution. This should give you hope, not guilt. Oh, I'm just so carnal and all. Oh, there's no hope for me. No, you got the wrong, you're listening out of the wrong ear. You're listening to the devil. If that's your reaction, it should be. Of course, it usually never is unless we just tell ourselves on purpose. But it should be, hey, now I see the problem. Now we can apply the solution. Well, what is the solution of these things? Get in the Word of God and get the Word of God in you and let your mind be renewed. Plant those seeds. Walk in faith as much as you can. You plant the seed, it'll grow. You walk in faith, and your faith will grow. It'll develop. It'll get to the point where it doesn't seem so ridiculous to you. To when you have a need to give, to when you have sickness attacking you, to speak to it. It'll get to where it doesn't seem quite so strange. In fact, it can get to where it seems like, well, that's the thing you ought to do. And I just give those things as two small examples, not small in the sense of they're important, but small in the sense that I didn't take an hour to explain them. Two examples, there's many. This is the wisdom of God, what is revealed to us through His Word. How do we know that? Well, look in Luke chapter 11. We'll take it straight from Jesus' own words. Luke chapter 11, verse 49. Jesus is speaking and says, therefore, the wisdom of God also said, and then He quotes the written word, I will send them prophets and apostles. Some of them they will kill and persecute, and so on and so on. He keeps talking. The point is not to quote what He's saying. That's not what we're preaching about. The point is that He identified the written word that He quoted with the wisdom of God. Of course, that was just in the olden days. It's different now. I mean, this is a new age, you know. Why, what worked then, we can't expect it to work now. You know, it's just like gravity. That only started about 1950. It's one of those new things. We're a new generation. It's ridiculous to think that way, isn't it? Things are the same. No matter how much they change, things stay the same. That's the truth. Yeah, we're traveling around now and in 4, 6, 8-cylinder vehicles instead of covered wagons or chariots or riding horses. But the human drama is still the same. People still have the same feelings. They do this, go through life the same way. No matter how much things change, it's still the same. People were having feelings just like you have and facing problems just like you're facing 2,000 years ago. it's nothing more than you're nothing more than a repeat. Did you know that? In one sense. Now, in one sense, you're a unique individual, just like God can make every snowflake different. Every person is different, but yet we're all the same. We're all the same. We all have feelings. We all have needs. We all have desires. All humans do. No matter where they live, no matter what the color of their skin, no matter how tall or how short they are, no matter whether they live today or 2,000 years ago, we're all the same. There's individual differences, but in the main areas, we're all the same. The wisdom of God is the written word of God. We've got that. Let me back up on that. Jesus said, therefore said the wisdom of God, and then he quoted what the written word said. Now that doesn't mean that it's limited to the exact words that are in the Bible. What it does mean, though, is that this written word gives us a measuring stick with which to compare any wisdom and see whether this is the wisdom of God or it's from another source. Do you see what I'm saying? Somebody came to me and said, I have a foot-long hot dog here for you to eat. Now, some of you are wishing I wouldn't have mentioned lunch because you was already getting hungry. And I had a ruler I could say, all right, let's see if that's a foot-long hot dog. And we'll put it up here and see if it's a foot-long hot dog. The ruler will determine whether it really is what they said it was. It may just be an 11-inch hot dog. Most likely is, or less. Well, we get some wisdom. Oh, I get this great idea. Oh, a vision in the night, an angel, or whatever, or my wife. or this book, or whatever. I get this great idea. Okay, well, here's the measuring stick. Let's see, is this the wisdom from above, or did it originate somewhere else? Let's put this idea up against the Word of God and see if it measures up. If it doesn't, sorry. If it doesn't, it's not such a great idea. You know, there's a lot of ideas. Like the Apostle Paul says, there's many voices in the world. Look in James chapter 3. Many voices, many ideas floating around. Oh, and I just hate so many of them. I know it's not good to get into a lot of hating, but I hate evil. I hate the junk that so many of the TV networks and commentators, the junk they try to throw on us. I hate it. I hate people lying and deceiving. That's what the devil is behind. Deception. I like the truth. God likes the truth. If you think that those newsmen, now, you can't lump everybody always together any more in one area of life than you can in another. It's just like saying all preachers are bad. Well, I know I'm not that bad. And so that's not the truth. And I know that most preachers aren't. Very few of them are bad. There's more of them in your category that are bad than preachers. Anyway, you can say thanks for the compliment. But if you think that most of those news commentators are up there on your nightly news just because they have such a burning desire to help you know the truth, you are naive. They are there because they get paid megabucks to be there, and they are only paid megabucks to do it if they do whatever whoever is paying them the megabucks tells them to do. If they do what they're told to do, then they get the big money, and that's why they do it. And I'm not saying that all of them have some kind of a conspiracy or something. I'm saying there is sin in the land. There is greed, and there are people that do not care about other people. Do you know what the communists believe? Any atheist, which communism is a religion, not just a political system, economic system, it's a religion of the devil. that claims there is no God. Do you know what those atheists believe? They believe that you're no different from a tree. So if they put a nail in you, it's no different than putting a nail in a tree. A tree's a living thing. You're a living thing, but you're just like anything else. You just started out and evolved up, and survival of the fittest, the same way it's always been. So we kill you off, no big deal. They don't care. They don't care. In fact, that's their whole policy. Why do you think that things are bad in Ethiopia and some of those countries? Part of it is a planned policy of the communists. You say, oh, now, wait a minute, you dumb preacher. Don't try to tell me that the communists planned a draft and you're blaming everything on the communists. No, I didn't. I'm not that ignorant. The devil planned the draft, the communists. But what I'm saying is in these countries, South Africa, any of these countries, the communists, they want there to be bloodshed. They want there to be scarcity. When everybody's happy, when everybody's got food to eat, when things are going good, the communists never get their foot in the door. Isn't that the truth? They plan these things. They plan, they foment rebellion and bloodshed, and they try to get factions working against each other. The more people that can be hurt and killed and go hungry, and that's what they're wanting. Then it opens the door to them to come along and say, we got the answer. They don't have the answer, but when you say, okay, come on in and give us the answer, they come in with guns, and from then on, they tell you what to do, and you don't have any more choices. I hate that. Now, how did we get off on that? We're talking about the news reporters and the money and the greed and why things are done. And we got to be careful that we don't do things for the same reason. But a lot of these things are planned. I mean, communists and other people, a lot of people, they don't care. Do you realize that in Mexico and India, that there are, I just gave those as a couple examples, Haiti. You find any poor country, and you know what you're going to find in it? You're going to find some super wealthy people. Any of them. They're not all poor. Don't be crazy. Don't be that naive. Some of them are super wealthy. And where do you think they're getting it? I'm not trying to go along with the communist philosophy and say, well, the whole problem here is these few wealthy. Let's knock them off and take their money and then we'll all be all right. No, it's just that there's greed and there's sin and there's people that don't care about anybody but themselves wherever you go. And that's what's motivating this world. It's the money. It's what can I get out of it for myself. It's the selfishness. That's the wisdom of this world, selfishness. I hate it. Yes, I've been selfish, just like you. But it's not good. We shouldn't do it. And I repent. And you should, too. Look at this. James chapter 3, verse 15. This wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly. See, there's an earthly wisdom. You can go to a lot of marriage counselors. You can go to a lot of financial counselors. You can go to a lot of counselors. And you can get some wisdom, but it's not necessarily the wisdom from above. How do I know? I'm just little old ignorant me. If you can read the Bible, then that's the ruler, the yardstick. You measure it against what the written word says, and you can see whether it's wisdom from above or wisdom from below. Oh, but it just makes so much sense. Well, sure, it ought to make so much sense to you. Why do you think you got in the problem in the first place? It's because you was in the world and acting according to the way the world works. Do you think that God, if he was in your shoes, would be in trouble? Do you? If God was down here walking around on this earth, is he going to be in trouble? Is he not going to know what to do? Is he going to be in financial difficulties? Is he going to be sick? Is he going to have all kinds of problems and frustrations? In a word, everybody answer me out loud. correct. He wouldn't be. He wouldn't be. If you were walking in wisdom, you wouldn't be in the problem in the first place. Is that right? So sure, it's going to seem a little strange to you. Sure, the earthly wisdom is going to seem, well, that sounds pretty good. And if you're going to judge it by your brain, well, if your brain was so smart, why'd you ever get in the problem in the first place? Verse 15, this wisdom does not descend from above, but is earthly, sensual, demonic. For where envy and self-seeking exist. Well, that doesn't exist in heaven, but it does on the earth. Selfishness. Does selfishness exist on the earth? Yes. Verse 16. There confusion and every evil thing will be there. Verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, and without hypocrisy. If God is going to guide you, He's going to give you His wisdom from above. It's going to fit into these classifications. It's going to fit this kind of description. God's not going to say, well, just go out there and kill them. Just knock them in the head and take their money and run. They shouldn't have done that to you anyway. So many of the ideas that you pick up in the world are off. Well, we've heard enough bad stuff. Let's get to some good stuff. Let's go to Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2, verse 3. To see what it's talking about, you have to go back to the last part of verse 2. Both of the Father and of Christ. Christ in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Now this I say, lest anyone should deceive you with persuasive words. There are people that can come along with persuasive words, talk you into something that is just a deception. But all the treasures, listen to this, treasures. Does that sound good to you? Treasures. Treasures. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are in Christ. Now, I already asked you earlier, and you, who was in Christ, and you said you were. You're in Christ. Well, that's also the place that God has, remember what He said in Proverbs 2? He's stored up sound wisdom for the righteous. He stored it up. Now, where has He stored it up? He stored it up in Christ. That's where all the treasures, all the good things of wisdom, all of that is in Christ. Remember all that good stuff? Length of days, riches and honor, pleasantness, peace. He stored that up in Christ. All those treasures are in Christ. All of it. All of them. Now notice this. When He says all, He means all. And He didn't say part. See, so many people, so many dear, misled people think they got part. Yes, God will save us, but He sure never promised to bless us financially. Yes, God will take us to heaven, but you can't expect Him to heal you. After all, this is a, what do they call it? Unhealable disease. What do they call it? Incurable. Well, that kind of blew my illustration, didn't it? All the treasures that God has, they're in Christ. All of it, it's in Christ. How shall He not freely with Him give us all things? Do you remember that verse in Romans? What is it? About 33, somewhere in there. If He did not spare His own Son, then how shall He not with Him, freely give us all things? I could get excited if I think about that verse much longer. Freely give us all things. Hallelujah. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hid in Christ. He's stored up this wisdom for us, and it's in Christ. And you're in Christ, and Christ is in you. You say, okay, sounds great, but how do I get it? Well, I'm only going to give you one guess because you only need one guess. That's because there's only one way you receive what God has. There's only one way that you receive the blessings and benefits of Christ in your life, and that is faith. Are you following me? There's no other way. It's not by works that you do, but it's just by faith. Now, where are you going to get some faith? Well, you're going to have faith when you have the evidence to know that something is a truth, and then you're going to believe it. When you know something, well, you believe it. You act in line with that. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Here's going to be some evidence for you. This evidence will give you something to base your faith on. You can be living this way because you believe it. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm glad he put this in Corinthians instead of Ephesians. Why? Because the Corinthians were the ones he wrote to that had the problems. And he had to correct. And he had to say, you're carnal and But what did he say to them? And this is, of course, to the body of Christ, but it is just addressed first to those that were in the church at Corinth, and I'm glad. So you know this wouldn't exclude you. Verse 30, but of him you are in Christ Jesus. Now that's what makes the difference right there. There's two classes of people. Those that are in Christ and those that aren't in Christ. That's it. There's no other name given among men under heaven that you can be saved. There's no other way out than to be in Christ. Either you're in Christ or you're not in Christ. I didn't say there's two classifications, Catholics and Protestants. I didn't say there's two classes, black and white, green and orange. No. They're either in Christ or you're not in Christ. Well, what is it going to say? But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. What that says to me is that we are supposed to glory. We're supposed to rejoice. We're supposed to be glad about it. And what are we supposed to be glad about? That Jesus is my wisdom. That Jesus is my righteousness. Now, that seems opposite to what a lot of people would think. If I went up here and says, hey, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ because Jesus is my righteousness, this person, if they didn't know better, could think, oh, he's just got the big head. Who does he think he is? He's just trying to lift himself up. He's trying to bring glory to himself. He's trying to make himself to be some great one. But if I'm understanding this, this is saying that if we're looking at this verse right, well, this is glorying in the Lord. I'm not trying to make myself some great one. I'm just glorying in what the Lord did. I'm not saying I am Jesus' wisdom. Anytime Jesus needs something, he calls on me. I'm saying Jesus has been made unto me wisdom. I'm glad that Jesus is my wisdom. I'm glad that I'm not my wisdom. I'm glorying in the Lord. I'm glorying in what he did. Oh, but I would never want to say that I'm righteous in Christ Jesus. You worldly thing, you. There's only one reason why you wouldn't do it. You know what it is? It's pride. You're too proud to say that you're righteous. That's the truth. You're too proud to say that you're the righteousness of God in Christ. People that won't say it, they think the opposite. They think, oh, I'm just so humble. I would never say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. I would never say that. I'm just too humble a person. And they are proud from their head to their toes. That's why they won't say it. Because they're not concerned about pleasing God in the bottom line and saying what he said and glorying about what he's glory wants them to glory about. They're only concerned about how it'd make them look and what people would think of them and affect them. They're worried. They're concerned. They're proud. You are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God. Did that say that Jesus became wisdom for those that are in him? Did it? Well, look at yourself if you're not sure. You say, well, I'm reading out of a different translation. Well, it can't be that different. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who was made unto us wisdom from God. That's King James. He was made unto us wisdom from God. Has Jesus been made yet, or is he still in the incubator? Huh? He's been made, isn't he? What he is, right? So if he's ever going to be your wisdom, he is now, right? He is now. Is this giving us any foundation to believe that we have the wisdom of God? Well, it should. If Jesus has been made unto us wisdom, he became for us wisdom from God. Let me ask you this. Do you have Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God? Well, if you have Jesus, this is not a perfect example, but it's just like with the wisdom comes the length of days and the riches and honor. With Jesus comes the wisdom. With Jesus comes, read it for yourself, verse 30, wisdom. What's the next one? Say it out loud, everybody. What's the next one? What's the next one? That means you've got redemption if you've got Jesus, doesn't it? Doesn't it? What does redemption mean? Well, it means being set free, delivered free. You got it. If you got Jesus, you got it. Sanctification, what does that mean? It means set apart unto God for his service. If you got Jesus, you got it. You're set apart from the world, set apart unto God. God's claimed you for his own. You got it. If you got Jesus, you've got righteousness. What does that mean? That right standing or good standing with God. You got it. You got it. Well, if you got Jesus, you got, what's the first one? Say it out loud. Oh, yes, brother. I'm going to go to school here for the next 40 years, and I'm going to pray real hard that God will give me wisdom. It's crazy. But you say, oh, wait a minute, wait a minute. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, then you're to ask for it. That's only if you don't know that you got it. If you know that you got it, now I'm not saying that you don't need to draw on it. You draw on it by faith. But to think that it's way off somewhere, you know what you're doing? You're in the same situation. Go back to Romans chapter 10. Anytime you need to get a clear perspective, just go back to Romans and get things in perspective. Because everything we receive from God is by faith. Everything works the same way. Whether it's finances, whether it's healing, whether it's being born again, it all works the same way. Faith comes by hearing the word. You believe the word in your heart. You release it out of your mouth. You receive it. Romans chapter 10. Let's begin reading in verse 6. But the righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say in your heart, who will descend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down from above. Who will descend into the abyss? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. They're making the same mistake. Oh, if I could just go to heaven and get a hold of God's guidance for this situation. Oh, if I could just go over here. Maybe Oral Roberts would have the answer. Maybe Billy Graham would have the answer. Maybe Kenneth Hagin would have the answer. Now, I'm not saying that God can't use different ministries. He does. He has just like you use a lettuce to eat, and you also use steak to eat. You use different things to eat. They have different flavors, different function, a little bit, different at least. Well, God set different members in the body. But if somebody is running around all over trying to look for the answer is right here. The word is near you in your heart and in your mouth the word of faith which we preach, that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Now, there is nothing in that verse that says anything about going to heaven, is there? You say, don't you believe I'm going to heaven? I believe you're going to be with your Lord. And we know that's where Jesus is. What I'm trying to point out to you is that for too long we've limited this verse to just mean go to heaven. When the Bible talks about being saved, it's not limited to being born again. Now, in reality, legally, when you are born again, you're totally delivered. But most people don't know it, so they're not walking in the light of it. Do you see what I'm saying? It's just like the prisoner of war that has been told, he's received the news that the war's over and his side won, but he's still in jail there. Legally, he's free, but he's still in there. Well, that's the way with a lot of Christians. Saved literally means delivered. Now, when we're delivered out of one kingdom, the kingdom of darkness, and transferred in the kingdom of God's dear Son, legally, we are really delivered from everything. But we don't necessarily know it, and we haven't necessarily been walking in the light of it. How many know that's the truth? If not us, well, then other Christians. You don't want to admit it. Confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For here's how it works. With the heart one believes to righteousness. Now wait a minute. We just read in our Bible that Jesus had been made unto us what? Say it out loud. Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. All right? One of the things he's made unto us is righteousness. Correct? All right, let's look at this verse, Romans 10:10. For with the heart one believes to righteousness. Do you think it'd work the same way with wisdom? I mean, righteousness and wisdom were thrown together in that same list in 1 Corinthians 1:30, what Jesus has been made unto us. Would it work the same way with wisdom? Of course it would. It works the same way with everything. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge, all the treasures of God are in Christ. He gave Christ to us. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? All those things are in Christ. Everything we need, everything we could desire, everything we could imagine, it's in Christ. But how are we going to draw it out into our experience? How's it going to be manifest? If you confess with your mouth, Lord Jesus, believe in your heart, God raised him from the dead. You see, everything was taken care of then. Everything was taken care of then. Wisdom was made available then. Redemption was made available then when he was raised from the dead. It's been available ever since. It's available today, right now, to you, to your neighbor, to everyone, to the world. Whosoever will, let him come. Hallelujah. With the heart one believes to righteousness or anything else that God has made available. And with the mouth, confession is made to salvation. Again, salvation means deliverance. Don't take my word for it. Study it yourself. It doesn't say salvation is limited to going to heaven. It's not. Salvation is now. I can prove that to you just by one verse. One verse. There's a scripture that says now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed. Well, I thought when you believe, that's when you got your salvation. Well, it is when you get the part of being born again. Receive a new life in your heart. But what is that talking about? It's talking about being physically delivered from this world system. Now that's nearer than when we believed. It is nearer than when we first believed, isn't it? Salvation in the New Testament means more than the vast majority of Christians have ever allowed it to include. And so when we read there in Romans 10:10, well, confession is made unto salvation. Glory to God, that's all. I'll get saved. I'll be born again. And then we go off and forget it. And that's how we tap into all of it. How? Confession. Confession. Jesus said it. I believe it. That settles it. So instead of saying, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. Oh, I just don't know what to do. Oh, God, help me. I say, God, I thank you that Jesus has been made unto me wisdom. It doesn't matter how I feel, I humble myself under your word, Lord. I'm taking the measurement of your word, and I'm seeing that Jesus is my wisdom, and so I thank you. I thank you that I have the wisdom of God in Christ. Jesus is my wisdom. Thank you, Lord, that you're my wisdom.